Ladies and gentlemen, Back Gig Studios Lounge is proud to present The Gig Cast. Welcome to the Gig Cast. This is Gig Cast Show 176 for, let's call it, the 16th of January 2009, although this is being posted late on the 17th, Saturday, January 2009. Usual excuses apply. Sick kid home from school all week. I started college this week, back in night school, and all day today, Saturday, so I haven't had a chance to do that. Plus, getting a night gig webcomic sampler up and ready for you guys, which, by the way, if you're listening to this, I'm not going to post it anywhere else. I'm not going to put it on Twitter. I'm not going to put it on the website, just in the podcast for you, my special listeners. There's still a chance, if you have not ordered, pre-ordered, to get a pre-order in for the $10 price to get the con swag, the con exclusive cover from Krishna, and sketches and signatures and everything else we can throw in there to get it to you. So still a chance midweek, say Wednesday of next week. This will be out Saturday night. So if you listen to this podcast, you still have a chance to get the pre-orders in. Go to www.nightgeek.com. You'll see the donation link right there. Anyway, we got a great show for you. Like I said, we've got, of course, Christiana Ellis. We've got the TBBA Spotlight. A lot of links in that this week, as well as an incredible interview. Scott and I talked with Norm Feudy, the comic artist behind the nationally syndicated comic retail and the new webcomic started up in November 2008, Norm, which is not Norm, sorry, Gil, at gilcomic.com. A great comic. We talked to him a bunch about that and a bunch of other stuff. A nice long interview, so that'll take up the rest of the show. Not a lot of news, not a lot of stuff. Not a lot of that. I'm not doing any Twitter bits because I shouted out for him, didn't get much reply. So we're going to skip that this week. We'll catch up with them next week, definitely. So let's take a break now. Listen to Christiana Ellis. Take a listen to Brian at TBBA Spotlight. And then we'll get into the interview with Norm. So we'll catch you on the flip side. And we'll get to all that, of course, right after this.
Prepare to drown your brain in a tablespoon of philosophy. It's Christiana's Shallow Thoughts on the Gig Cast. And now, Christiana's Shallow Thoughts. Ever have that problem where you're really hungry, but you just can't for the life of you think what exactly it is that you want to eat? And I'm not just talking about the times that you don't feel like eating any of the stuff that you have available, although that's pretty annoying too. I remember back when I was a little kid, one of the apparent perks of being a grown-up was being able to eat whatever you want whenever you wanted it. And health and financial concerns aside, that's generally true, and it is pretty sweet. But occasionally, it seems like my brain gets into this weird little feedback loop where the hungrier I get, the harder it is for me to decide what I want. I think to myself, I have frozen things, non-frozen things, things I could microwave, things I could make from scratch, things I could order delivered. And if I'm willing to get in the car, there's several dozen different restaurants that I could go to within a few minutes' drive. Or for that matter, two grocery stores within the same radius. I think sometimes that is the actual problem. Too many choices. If someone told me, you get to have chicken or fish, I could choose. If someone told me I could have cold cereal or macaroni and cheese, I could choose. When I can have virtually anything, I'm paralyzed. Now, generally what happens in these situations is that I default to whatever seems easiest at the time. If I've got leftover anything, usually I'll eat that. And then it usually comes down to a microwave dinner or ordering pizza. And yet, I'm never entirely satisfied when I eat it because I feel like I settled for something lesser. It's maddening. And in these moments, I often find myself nostalgic for the days when I just walked into the kitchen and asked my mom or dad, "What's for dinner?" But then again, not having any choice is frustrating. And especially when you are subject to someone else's preferences. I think that what I really want is someone to make my life easy and perfect all the time. Know anyone like that? ShallowThoughts.libsyn.com and ChristianaEllis.com, 206-984-9264. New Thoughts Daily.
What's it, Sophie? It's that time again? Come on, let's go.
It's time for some links from a guy in the know. When it comes to making comics, hey, this guy is a pro. Searches the web to find stuff he likes, and we share him with you on the TBBA Spotlight. It's the Bastard Brian Anderson Spotlight. From the Gigcast and DoggyDoug.com.
That's right, it's time once again for the TBBA Spotlight. That Bastard Brian Anderson has lived up to his name this week. He sent me a bunch of links on the course the week that I go back to college. I have a kid homesick, and the Night Gig webcomic sampler 4 is being finalized. But anyway, it's all good stuff, so we'll get to that straight away. The first link he sent us this week is called the original Nutty Funsters at the airingcupboard.net. It is an anamorphic. Webcomic, kind of in newspaper format. It's about three friends who wax sarcastic, put up with strange and annoying neighbors, and barely put up with each other. It's a weekly strip and updates on Wednesdays, so check that out. I'm going to fly through these because I don't have a lot of time. The next comic is Ask Rachel at AskRachelComic.com. And guessing by the title, it is, of course, about a young woman with an advice column. And, of course, she has her best friend. She has her boyfriend. She has the neurotic person who's always writing her letters. She has a publisher that she deals with. It's a nice-looking strip. It is, again, newspaper formatted, black and white. No anamorphic creatures this time, straight up humans, which is cool. It is by, who's it by? You know, I should know who it's by. Josh, somebody rather. Josh McDonald, that's it. Sorry, Josh, didn't mean to say Josh, somebody rather. It's by Josh McDonald. Very cool. So he's a regular contributor to the CTA Young Adult Catholics blog. So very cool. Check it out at AskRachelComic.com. The next one, I believe we talked about before. I'm going to talk about it again. It's Finn Strip. That's right. This guy follows me on Twitter, and I still don't know his name. I feel bad about it because I'm sure it's some great Finlandish name that I could screw up incredibly easily, or it's incredibly easy, and I just can't find it. But it's basically what's going on inside Finn's head. I'm going to call it Finn, even though it's Finnish, I mean, I'm sure, because it's got the blue stripe of the flag of Finland there. But basically, it's a newspaper formatted strip. It mixes in hand-drawing stuff with some photorealistic stuff. Really nice, really cool, always very deep and insightful in a kind of twisted way. So check it out. It's Finn Strip at webcomic.us/finstrip. That's F-I-N-N strip. The next one is Glitch Town. It's a full-color webcomic, a little bit larger than newspaper formatted. It is about, as I check the about list here, because again, I didn't have a lot of time to go over the stuff, unfortunately. But anyway, it's Ramus Peterson's comic. He's 19 years old, and he's Swedish. So you get the whole Finland Swedish thing going on there. The whole Northern Europe kind of North Sea area thing going on with the strip. So, you know, Brian always has this type of theme he's going with. And I was going with the Northern European people for some reason. But Glitch Town, check it out. The art is outstanding. The writing is good. A lot of fun. The cast includes, let's see here. I know this is not just humans. You've got Isaac. He's a guy. You got a teddy bear, Houston, stuffed teddy bear Brown. Very good. He's got a nice little cast page. And I think the main character is Leslie. It's a guy, Leslie. And there are guys named Leslie. Leslie Nielsen. I knew it. Yeah, so that's fine. Works for me. Check it out. Glitchtown at glitchtown.com. And the last one is just amazing. And the about page says it all. So I'm just going to read what the one sentence on the about page says, and we'll leave it at that. Unconscious Ink, it's at unconsciousink.com, is a collection of random drawings by Jonas Norak for no other purpose but to be odd. And he lives up to that in spades. Just once a week he puts out, on Thursdays, puts out some weird stuff. Just a sketch that you wonder where he gets it. I mean, weird-looking plants, strange-looking vegetables, just a twisted look on some everyday things. Very cool, very interesting. We'll make some great tattoos and T-shirts because people are, is that a Pokemon? No, it's not. It's something just really weird. Yeah, but check it out. It's at unconsciousink.com. All right, folks, that's the TBBA Spotlight for this week. Sorry, it was kind of rushed. But like I said, not a lot of time this week. And he sent, like that bastard would, a huge hunk full of links for me to get through. So anyway, I'm not even going to say his catchphrase this week, but you can check him out at dogeatdoug.com. Follow him at Twitter at twitter.com/dogeatdoug. And until next time, this is JT Schaefer, Brian Anderson, sending you back to your originally scheduled gig cast already in progress. All right, welcome back to the interview portion of the gig cast. And joining us this evening is a syndicated cartoonist and now recent webcomic cartoonist newbie, if you can call him that, Mr. Norm Feudy. Norm, how are you doing tonight?
Very good. You can call me newbie if you want.
Well, I mean, your webcomic's only been out for, what, like a month and a half now, so.
It is. I'm a webcomic newbie. Absolutely. I will cop to that.
Okay, but yeah, but you have been, you're also a syndicated cartoonist, which most webcomic newbies can't say with your comic strip Retail. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
correct.
Let's just take a step back, shall we? And
sure.
Let us know how you got into the whole comicking business and then how you stumbled into webcomicking.
Well, I mean, I've always kind of had a pipe dream of being a cartoonist. I, when I was younger, I just sort of gave up on it. Didn't think much of my artistic ability. And out of school, I just worked in retail for about 15 years.
Poor man.
Yeah. And when we had our first child back in 2001, my wife had a much better job than I did. She had an office job, which was stable. I, on the other hand, had three of the businesses that I worked for went out of business.
Is that coincidence, right? Or just happenstance?
No, just like the whole company went under, not just the store.
Oh, okay,
I was.
Okay.
And, you know, she had good benefits and stuff, so we made the decision that, you know, I would stay home and just keep working part-time.
Sure.
She would keep her office job. And while I was doing that, she said, well, what else... Now that you have a little more time, why don't you try? It was my wife who pushed me into trying to actually get syndicated, and she actually went online and found all the submission guidelines and whatnot. And so, when I was trying to come up with ideas, I decided to write what I knew, and I wrote. Came up with a concept for writing a strip about retail, and that's the one that ended up getting the syndicate's attention and eventually syndicated. So.
Very cool. And you did this the old-fashioned way. You didn't have, it wasn't online or anything. You actually, sent in portfolios and stuff, or what?
Yeah, I guess the first attempt I made was in 2001, 2000. It was a retail concept. It was a lot different than the retail strip that finally made it. It was actually rejected, but I remember Jay Kennedy, who was the editor at King Features at the time, who's now unfortunately passed away, but he actually wrote some notes on the rejection letter, what I can do to improve it. And I got a few other personalized rejection letters at the time.
That's impressive. And
yeah, well, you know, but I knew nothing about the business, and I actually, Tribune Media Services, actually, they had a website called Comics Edge at the time,
mm-hmm.
where they kind of took this, some strong submissions each month and put it online and had people vote on it. And they actually picked it up for 30 days for their website, too, which was exciting, and they paid me, like, I don't know, $300 or something like that.
Wow.
And in 2001 dollars, that's a lot of money.
Hey, guys, I gotta go. I gotta start making a submission.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, after the 30 day, I was supposed to talk to their editor, and I never ended up talking to anybody. I never got any feedback from them, which was kind of a disappointment. But even after that strong reaction I got, stupid me, I thought, after it was rejected, I was like, oh, I guess that idea is not going to fly. So, and I just went in a totally different direction. And for the next couple of years, just submitted random ideas. And Jay Kennedy, actually, one of the other ideas I sent in a few years later, I started mentioning that I had retail on the TMS website because I thought that would impress somebody. And I guess Jay remembered the first version that I had sent, and this new other comic that they didn't want to go with, but he said, you know, the retail concept is a good idea. Why don't you resubmit something like that? So now I'm like, you know, 3 years later, kicking myself in the head, but...
the light going off going, you mean I can resubmit?
Right, yeah. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I sent another idea to him, you know, right away, and he actually gave me a personal phone call. At that point, they still weren't ready to give me a deal, but he gave me some suggestions. He, I mean, he's called me on the phone. Dude, he rejected it, but he gave me a lot of pointers, which was totally awesome. And, of course, I took everything he said and resubmitted right away.
You know, right now, there are webcomic people everywhere that have been submitting for years and years and years and getting form rejections, just banging their heads against their desks listening to you. You realize this, right?
Well, I mean, I got my share of form rejections, too.
Oh, sure, okay,
but, yeah. But, yeah, it was, I mean, a lot of it was luck, too, that, you know, he just happened to like the concept enough and see enough potential in it that he picked up the phone and called me, so, I mean, that was cool, too.
But, so when did retail finally get accepted and become syndicated?
2006 is when it launched, January 1st, 2006.
Excellent. So you've been syndicated now for, yeah, like 3 years, just about.
Yep.
How many papers is it in?
Total right now it's in about 75, I believe.
Wow, which, not too shabby.
That's nice.
I mean, not too, well, no, it's not great, but it's not, no, I'm... the Wade newspapers are right.
Yeah, I was about
now.
To say. Okay,
I feel
so
lucky to be at 75.
Like, okay, so you've seen the future and you've seen the demise of the newspaper.
Right, yeah.
So now you're actually foraying onto the web. That was going to be my segue right. there, right in there. So you're in a dying.
Well, but no, what I like is the fact. Yeah, I like the fact that he's in more papers than there are states.
Right.
So that's just kind of a good sign. I mean, it's.
As like, the worse off newspapers get, the more impressive that number seems.
Yeah.
75, so you're in all of them?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I thought there were only 68 left. That's great.
But I'm lucky. I've had surprisingly few cancellations over the years, and it's, you know, it's creeping up in the right direction.
Do you know why? Because there's a lot of people that work retail, and we all know retail sucks.
Well, and what else do you have to do while you're working your retail job than read the paper?
I wonder how many break rooms across America they've got little pieces of your artwork hanging in every break rooms and all across the world, all across this great country.
Quite a few. I actually got an email from somebody who worked at Walmart who said her manager kept taking them down, but they kept hanging back up, threatened to fire the next person he caught, like putting up.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Only because, you know, it's that whole. When you don't want to look like a caster, you know, you don't want to look like the pointy-headed boss. You don't want to look like Stewart.
Right.
You don't. You know, it's there's just certain things that you know, as a manager,
You know, there of all the ways that you can judge how successful a comic is, I think the best way is how many of them are clipped out of newspapers or photocopied and are hanging in break rooms and cubes on refrigerators across America. If you get that number, right. You know, well, let's see, the number of Snoopies have dropped drastically, but look at all these Far Sides and Gills and whatnot. You know, it's like, yeah, that'd be great.
But yeah, now that I've spoiled your segue there, Tim.
No, you didn't spoil my segue.
All right.
But anyway, about you've now just starting the end of last year, about looks like someone beginning of November or so, you decided to put a comic on the web. What spurred that, besides the fact newspapers are dying out like that tonight?
Well, actually, Gil started out as a syndicate submission. I decided to try to get a second strip syndicated. I enjoy retail a great deal, and you know, and now it's been 3 years. I mean, it's just been a lot of fun to do, and you know, the fans that I have are great. But I always get ideas that don't really fit into the retail concept, and it's kind of frustrating. I always have like an outlet, so I would like an outlet for other ideas that aren't necessarily about working in retail.
Sure.
So, and Gil was kind of an idea that I had been playing with back when I was submitting syndicated strip in the first place. So I put together a submission and sent it out and was soundly rejected by everyone. I'm trying to put it on the web and see what happens. So
that's such a shame, though, because I honestly think that comics like Gil are what would save newspapers. I mean, if you could say, okay, we exclusively want to run your comic, and we'll put it in, you know, whatever, 100 papers. Right. I mean, I heard you on Tall Tale Radio, and you guys were talking about how, you know, Gil was just too edgy to put in a paper. And I'm like, but isn't that just stupid? I mean, they can put stories about rape and murder and all these horrible things, but you can't put a story in there about a little boy who's growing up in a divorced family because, it might sometimes be slightly inappropriate. You might slip in a fart joke.
Right. I mean, yeah, it just, I don't know, it seems crazy to me, too, but I mean, I understand where the syndicates are coming from, because, I mean, they're not going to pick something up that they just know flat out isn't going to sell, so.
I love it, the fact that they're called syndicates. You know, it's like, it has such an evil connotation, you know? Yeah. It really is. The syndicate wants to talk to you, and you get all excited and nervous. You're like, oh, geez, oh, really, really?
it's always spoken of like it's this entity in and of itself. It's quite human. The syndicate wants this.
The syndicate.
Yeah, there's a table in some room where there's Dr. Evil is behind one in one chair, and then you have Dr. Claw in another chair, and
all the faces are obscured by shadow. You really don't really see who's there, but must be somebody powerful because his chair is bigger than everybody else's. Yeah, exactly.
We would like to speak with you about your submission. Perhaps you could add more LOL cats.
Yes, exactly. Not enough puppies in this one.
Right. You know, it was funny because I knew when I got picked up for syndication, they had me go out to New York to give a sales presentation to their sales reps. And I was really nervous because that's got me. Not that I pictured anything that extreme for the syndicate people. I was like, I don't know what these people are like. But they're totally just, you know, regular guys that, you know, it was kind of, it was weird how down to earth they really are. You don't necessarily think of them that way, but
sure,
they really are just, you know, a bunch of
regular guys. Oh, yeah, you were expecting suits and...
Yeah, I don't think there was a suit in the room, to be honest.
It'd be funny if, like, you walked into the office and all of a sudden everything was in grayscale.
You know? Everything's toned.
It's just black and white and gray here and there.
Except for that one office down at the end where it's all in color.
Yeah, but no sense of humor whatsoever throughout the whole thing. Yeah, I get it. That's funny. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah. Yeah.
You like my new 40% halftone suit?
That's
yeah.
So how has the how's your syndicate? What do they think about you having Gil on the web? They have said anything to you about it? Do they know about it? Is it something you discussed with them?
Well, I talked to, obviously, when I submitted it to my syndicate first, and you know, they turned it down. And after in my contract, they have a right of first refusal for any new newspaper strips,
right,
that I come up with. So I kind of have to pitch it to them first. So then I pitch it to the other syndicates after that. But I mean, after they turn it down, I'm free to do whatever I want with.
Sure,
so.
Of course.
So now I was just thinking as you said that. So if it's one that you really wanted to go with on the web in the first place, there's nothing really stopping you from pitching it as a pair of transvestites who adopt a baby girl
and then disappear after the first storyline.
And then when they let them reject it right away, and then go, well, we retooled it for the web.
I suppose. Well, I mean, they're only concerned about print anyway.
Sure.
Right.
So if it's a web-only feature, that doesn't even apply to the contract. It's anything that I'm selling specifically to newspapers. So
makes you wonder if they're keeping an eye on it.
What's that?
Makes you wonder if they're keeping an eye on it, seeing, you know, reading the comments, seeing how successful it gets, and then might come back and say, "Hey, we know we changed our mind." That could always happen, I suppose.
Well, and you're online sort of with your you are online with your syndicate. They do the. Was it what's
one of them papers from the Great White North there?
Well, no, they've got the
Milwaukee, Wisconsin Journal Sentinel. That one,
yeah, Comics Kingdom.
Comics Kingdom now, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is a great concept. You know, it's go ahead and
right. You know,
I mean, because like for example, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, right. My neck of the woods, sort of. You know, they feature your comic, and they should. I think they should do more stuff like this. You know, have a comics page on the web.
I mean, I think it's a good concept because they're driving traffic to newspapers, which is, you know, what comics did back when they were invented 100 years ago.
Yeah,
you know,
the whole idea of comics.
Drive people to newspapers, the print version. Well, now that most newspapers are moving online, this is kind of recreating that model online, as opposed to just driving traffic to the syndicate website, which doesn't do anything for you, really.
Right.
So, yeah.
Other than to, you know, grant, you know.
Well, yeah, because it really only attracts a crowd of people who are already interested in comics,
right.
Which is great, but it's attracting readers who wouldn't normally think about comics as a mode of communication that, you know, that you really want to attract. I mean,
right.
Here's an interesting question here. Okay, you've had your syndicated newspaper comic for about 3 years, and now you've had Gil for 2 months, give or take. How has the reader interaction changed? I mean, do you did you have any feedback from any readers really for retail compared to what you're getting now on your website?
I get emails all the time about retail too. Are you saying is it comparable? Or?
Yeah, I mean. Do you enjoy getting the almost immediate feedback of the web comic as compared to?
Yeah, you know. I mean that is cool. I mean it took a long time before I really got any kind of response from retail in the form of emails and stuff. Well, not a long time, but before I got a consistent following of people who would email me occasionally, that took a while to build up. And yeah, when you're doing a print strip, it can be it can feel pretty lonely because
sure.
you're thinking to yourself, oh, you know, potentially millions of people are reading this, but if it's not in your hometown newspaper, which it happens to be in my hometown newspaper, so I was lucky in that respect.
Oh, cool.
But it just feels like nobody sees it, like nobody's reading it. Whereas opposed to online, yeah, right, you get a response right away.
Wait, is, you can, is that the Globe it's in? Or
the Attleboro has a local paper.
Oh, okay.
The Sun Chronicle.
Gotcha.
Which is the
close
town,
enough.
The one town over.
Right? Yeah, 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 yeah.
No, the hoity-toity paper. Yeah.
No, those of you listening, he's from my neck of the woods. Well, my original neck of the woods up in Massachusetts, southeast Mass there. So,
right.
Yeah, the old stomping grounds, more or less. Up there, up by that bastard Brian Anderson, but apparently they haven't got together yet, so I don't know what's going on there.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I ended up taking Guild to the Web is after it had been rejected by a couple of the syndicates, I was still waiting to hear back from, I think, two of them. I decided just for the hell of it to just put all my samples online to see what people thought. And so I just put them on my regular blog, and Alan Gardner at the Daily Cartoonist linked to it, and I just got a huge response right away, just overwhelmingly positive.
Oh, sure.
And I got emails from cartoonists, both web cartoonists and syndicated cartoonists, people I'd never heard of or knew, you know, kind of saying, hey, maybe you should take it to the web and see, you know, what happens. So that kind of encouraged me.
Oh, Gil is such a fun comic. It really is. It didn't take much more than the first time visiting your site for it to become a daily read of mine.
Oh, thanks.
I literally read it like right before or after I read Sinfest or something else. It's so much fun.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
Excellent. Yeah, and I see. You went with the you got your gilcomic.com's URL for those of you who are wondering what we're talking about and haven't said it yet. It's at, I think, gilcomic.com. So you went out and got URL instead of going on like a some other website.
Blogger or something.
Right.
So and speaking technology-wise, what's your process for your comics? Do you make Gil the same way you make retail? Is it kind of a mix of the old and the new? Or what's your process?
Pretty much. Actually, ironically enough, I use a font that I made for my handwriting for retail.
That's cool.
But I hand letter my web comic. Oh. it's kind of backwards, but
that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I when I started doing retail, I didn't feel my hand lettering was strong enough, and that was one of the comments that Jay Kennedy had made off the bat. So, and he had recommended, he's like, oh, you know, there's a lot of people use computer fonts nowadays, want to try that. So I kind of went and jumped to that rather than developing a handwriting style, which in some ways I regret, because I kind of like the organic feel of and look of the hand lettering. But once I did it for retail, I just sort of stuck with it just to maintain the consistency of the look. But I, you know, when I started doing the webcomic, I decided to try something different. So,
but that's a font that you made from your handwriting, you said?
For retail, yeah.
For retail.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's
right.
That's really nice, actually. I mean, that's... I would have thought it was a downloaded font.
Yeah, well, see, that's kind of the problem with it. I think I made it... I got too anal with it and made it really neat, which I yeah...
Well, it does. If you ever interested, head out to Blambot Fonts. I think it's blambot.com.
Yeah, actually, right.
They've got he's got a couple of but Nate Picos is Blambot. He does professional lettering for like Marvel, DC, and some other things too. And then he's got some free fonts and some pay fonts. But yeah, he's got a font pretty similar to this. Of course, it's his handwriting, of course.
Right.
But yeah, it's if you ever give up retail, go start lettering for comic books, man.
Yeah, so when the papers fail and you can't get anything else in there, you're covered. There you go.
Right. Well, I mean, the other reason I made it is like I've seen how incredibly small some newspapers.
Oh, no kidding.
Spreads, and it's like just even having it be, you know, a consistent filing from the computer will be so much more legible too. So
that's right.
I've always kind of been afraid to change it at that point too.
Norm Feudy, the comic who cares. Yeah, see, it's
are you using like a brush pen or a nib or something?
I do. I use it's called a Kuretake brush pen.
Oh, okay, the brush pens.
Right. Yeah. Nice.
And you letter it with that pen, and you letter it with the brush pen too.
Gill, I do. Yes.
Wow. That's really clean for lettering with a brush pen.
It's the flow of the ink is just perfect on this. It's an expensive.
It looks like it because I mean the line work on it. It looks like it could have been like it was like inked on line. I mean that's amazing. I mean on like a Cintiq, a Cintiq or something.
Right. It's an amazing pen. It really is. They're like $30 a piece, though. That's the only.
Well, the tool is only as good as the person using it. So you've got some skills, man. That's awesome.
Well, honestly, and I'm gonna let you in a little secret. After reading Gil, I changed how I drew Andrew, my son in my comic, actually.
I noticed that.
Yeah, that he. Well, I'd always been drawing Andrew with kind of like a buzz cut, and then I saw how you drew Gil, and I went, "That's the perfect buzz cut. That's how I should have been drawing him with a buzz cut the whole time." And I immediately went and changed it, and I was like, I'm so much more happy with it.
Know,
I'm like,
for a second there, I was like, who the hell is that? I'm like, oh, it's his kid. Okay, we're good. Yeah. He changes hairstyle. Okay, no problem.
Well, yeah, because it's like I wasn't ever real happy with how I was drawing the two little kids' hair, and I was like,
right.
And then I'm like, well, that's perfect. I'm going to steal that from him, and I'll never talk to him. It won't matter.
Yeah, my lawyer is going to be calling you.
Well, that's okay. He can take at least 10% of my profits.
So is Gil set in the current time? Is the current day? Because you're showing your age with that ain't nothing gonna break my stride strip there.
Yeah,
I'm like, no, I mean, okay. That's something I would have been singing when I was a kid, but it's like,
hey, I laughed because I had heard it on the radio just a couple of days ago.
Okay,
earlier.
All right, sure. It is a catchy tune, I gotta tell you.
No I figure, hey, his mom listened to 80s.
Well, with this, okay, you know, we've talked about newspapers getting into a rut and going out of business.
But the radio stations.
The radio stations long ago drove a nail into their coffin with the no. We Peer don't want to take a chance on new music. We'll just keep playing the hits from the 80s. Well, how are we supposed to have hits of the 90s and 2000 if you don't play new songs? No. Don't talk like that.
Well, because if we'll the new songs are like the new Britney Spears song, I mean, come on. If you seek Amy, no. Just sorry. I'll step back from that. But yeah. No, but I mean, I got the reference. I loved it. Just the fact that he's strolling down the street singing that song, you know. Brings me back to my childhood.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually a joke that I just retooled. There's a couple of jokes from the original submission that were set in the summertime that I kind of just wanted to redraw to make them wintertime jokes. And
sure.
I think originally he was on a swing or something, and I just had a different idea when I rewrote.
And your wife pushed you into this, huh?
The syndicated comic strip, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean that's awesome though that the wife was like, no, it's okay that you've got a job that most people are embarrassed to tell people. I'm just kidding. But it's
what retail it's like, or cartoon?
Well, I guess you know what you make a strong argument, sir.
Yeah.
When you have to sit down with the rest of the parents and say what you do for a living, you know, shoe salesman or cartoonist.
Right. Yeah. Most people don't know that
you can be both. Kev was for a while.
Sounds
there.
A lot more impressive to people who don't know how little money we really make.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds better than just say awesome. Artist. You know, if you say cartoonist, right. You know, then it sounds like it's a profession. Artist is just a thing you do.
Although, yeah. I have to say, I still make more than I made working in retail management, so.
Outstanding.
That's awesome.
How sad is that?
God.
See, that's retail management. That's just.
I'm dreading having to go back to retail. I've only worked retail part-time, and I worked full-time at Office Depot for a year once, and that almost sucked my soul right out of my body.
Let's
go on and do it.
I don't know. Retail might be going the way of newspapers. Jeez.
Wouldn't that just suck?
The local mall just changed their hours. They open at noon now.
Really?
I couldn't believe that. Like,
where's all the old people going to go walk in the middle of winter and summer down here?
You know what? You know what's going to happen is the mall eventually they're just going to convert it to homeless shelters. And what you'll do is you'll go window shopping, and it'll all be like, you know, little billboards inside the mall. And when you see something you like, you'll swipe your credit card. And you'll just be able to buy it online while walking through what used to be a mall.
Oh, no, no, no. I'll just sit at home in front of our little idiot boxes, clicking the mice. That's how we'll buy it.
Well, no, and then it'll all get delivered. It'll all get delivered to your house. You know, you'll have a nice evening out. It'll
Don't you have the Mall of America where you live?
Yeah, yeah. We do.
See,
it's more of a theme park than it is a shopping center.
Exactly.
That's
how it's going to go.
Well, there's a SpongeBob roller coaster in there now.
Oh, it's SpongeBob now. It's actually sponsored now.
Yeah, Nick. It's no longer Camp Snoopy.
Oh, Nickelodeon.
It's now like Nickelodeon World or something.
Yeah.
I wonder if kids really know who Snoopy is anymore. Really?
Well, my kids do. Mainly there. Isn't those guys that have the holiday specials? That's about it.
Yeah,
and that's exactly right. It is. Every little kid knows who the Peanuts gang is because they play it every Christmas.
And you got to let the kids know. No, that's one of the ones that came out in the 80s. That's one of the crappy Peanuts ones. These are the good ones back here that came out in the 60s. Happy New Year, Charlie Brown? I don't think so.
This is the one where Charlie Brown still used to smoke in the cartoon.
Well,
Groundhog Day.
Yeah, there was a second Thanksgiving one that was actually part of a series they did on historical events, but they played it on TV like it's the Pilgrims, Charlie Brown, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like my daughter goes, I saw that in school. Okay, whatever.
That's it. You know, my daughter's 7, and we watched the Great Pumpkin. She wasn't all that into it.
She's gone. Well, where's the part where they pull the cards out and they slap them into a controller, and then the pumpkin turns into a giant mech
that
they then use to battle each other?
I was just wondering is it a generational thing, or is it just because she didn't grow up with it really? You know
what it is? Like, is back when we saw them, there was three channels on TV, right? When we saw them, there were three channels on TV. The only cartoons we saw were maybe for an hour after school and then Saturday mornings. Nowadays, you want animation, there's 15 channels of it, you know, whether it be...
Well, and somewhere along the line in the 80s, the, you know, companies like Hasbro figured out that if they paid somebody to create cartoons...
Based on a toy line. Exactly.
Based on a toy line or a card game or something else, they could really boost their sales.
Yeah.
Whereas the cartoons that... Well, I don't know, Norm, how old of a guy are you?
I'm 38.
Okay, so you're right in there with me and Tim.
You have a good point. I mean, back then, you had to plan your whole life around when that holiday special was going to be on TV.
And I believe I quit playing hockey.
Because it wasn't going to be on again.
I believe I quit playing hockey so I could stay home and watch the Far Out Space Nuts. I believe. On Saturday morning. It's like one of the Cross Superstar shows there.
It
was
like,
Bomb Denver,
I believe.
You were
really missing out. If you weren't home on Saturday morning, you were missing out.
Damn Skippy.
Yeah, but like...
The good cartoons weren't on any other day.
Right.
Well, yeah. But yeah, like Tom and Jerry and the Looney Tunes were still the big cartoons that I watched on Saturday mornings when I was a little kid. And it's like Tom and Jerry didn't sell anything.
Right. I remember the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon.
Yeah, that was awesome.
With the
I
Dungeon
was, like,
Master,
so
that was
into
awesome.
That.
Yeah.
And then my mom signed me up for like a bowling league every Saturday.
And you had to miss it. Oh,
so like, no!
Well, and you know she signed you up for the bowling league because she's talking with her friends, going, "He watches this Dungeons and Dragons thing. I think it's something about Satanism." And then of course, one of the neighbors go, "Well, there's nothing more American than bowling."
Yeah. Hey, now
Hanks killed himself.
Now was that up in New England? Was it candlepin bowling? Or?
No, I lived in Colorado.
Oh, okay, never mind. I grew up in Massachusetts, and I didn't see a bowling ball with three holes in it until I moved to Florida when I was 1980.
All
those candlepin.
I don't like the small ones.
Hey, if you grew up with it, you're used to it. You know, three balls, dead wood, the whole deal. Hey, speaking of Wayback Machines, my friend, do you know how many emails I got explaining, hey, I remember the Incredible Mr. Limpet? Lots and lots of people.
I didn't get anybody who told me anything about
it. I will forward you the emails that were sent to me and the tweets that I got saying, hey, I'm listening to the Geekcast. I remember that movie.
So, yeah. I take it back. I did have one person who stepped forward and said, yeah. I watched. And they actually sent me a link and the whole works.
That's the one where he turned into a fish.
Exactly. Right? And he helped the Navy win World War II.
I'm sure I've seen it, but I don't remember a thing about it.
It's just, he's got that wah sound. He like attracts limpet mines. That's all there.
I have no recollection of any part.
And the Germans are trying to figure out how they're doing it, right? And so they built a limpet. He makes that big wah sound that the sonar guys hear, lets them know where the submarines are, right? So the Germans build. The Germans build this torpedo which tracks in on that sound, and I just remember them. The torpedo's on like a little pedestal, and they're doing this limpet mine around, it's making that noise, and the torpedo's turning around. Anyway, sorry, I'm just flashing back again. Don't mind me. I got to find a picture of that and put it as our cover art this week if we don't or something. I don't know. All right, what were we talking about? Oh yeah, Gil, you do a webcomic, right?
Oh yeah, Norm? Yeah.
So anyway, all I was going to ask about. Hey, you know, do you think? And you know how, for a while there, Snoopy was the king of retail stuff, swag, and then you know you get the Garfield swag. Do you think in this day and age, can there be another comic character to take over the souvenir market the way that? The way that those guys did, because we're talking about stuff.
Have to be.
Not straight from the newspaper like they used to be. Like I'm sure somebody will. I mean, I think they're making like a Pooch Cafe movie, aren't they?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, they
had that movie for the backyard. The raccoon and the squirrel and the cookie. Whatever the movie that was a comic, correct?
I mean, I think if there was any kind of merchandising, it would be, you know, a comic strip would become popular that way or something.
Sure.
I don't.
I mean, because I remember when I was a kid, I mean, Garfield was everywhere. He still is, more or less.
I don't think there's going to be another comic strip that has the opportunity to have that the kind of exposure.
Exactly.
That's
I don't think so either.
That sort of, I think it was Berkeley Breath of Him. Yeah. So there's not going to be any more billionaire cartoonists. So.
Well, he did pretty good with Opus. I mean, over the years.
Right. Well, that's because he's him.
But I mean, like the whole Bloom County was going to take over the throne for the Garfield things with the Opus dolls and the Bobcat dolls and the T-shirts and stuff, and then he bowed out. And came back later with Opus, but then it was too late. He let the wave crest. And sure, people still love the Opus and whatnot, but it wasn't the powerhouse with, you know, Build a Cat 08 that it could have been.
I'm sure he's doing okay, though.
Oh, definitely. He wouldn't have left again if he wasn't.
I don't think it's going to happen again.
I don't know. I think in even in our lifetime, I think you'll see somebody figure out the business model, and then once they do, you'll see every newspaper in the country jump on board. You know, whether it's they'll have scaled back their papers to, you know, being a once a week thing, and they're on and their websites being their daily, you know, their daily stuff, because the advertising revenue from those flyers that, you know, my wife goes out and still buys the Sunday paper just to read the ads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to give that up easy. And that doesn't have the same impact on the web.
No, what it boils down to is, yes, you can take your laptop into the bathroom, but it's not that convenient. I mean, that's where I read the ads, and that's where I used to read the comics. And where I do read the comics is, you know, either lying down on the couch, which is tough to do with a laptop, or while taking care of business in the reading room.
I mean, it's not to say that I don't think that anybody will ever create another comic strip that's you know, that popular, but I don't, it's not going to happen in newspapers, I don't think.
Yeah, probably not.
Not in the same way, anyway. You know, I mean, if newspapers move online, then you consider it the same thing, I guess, but...
If anything, it'll come from Japan, like Pokemon or something else. It'll be more of a whole multimedia event type thing with an online thing, a multimedia type thing, either a movie or TV show.
Right.
You know, and then maybe like backslide into a comic on the paper in the papers or something. Like, I'm trying to think of one that has done that. I know there's got to be.
Right. Well, I mean, but it's hard to imagine another
Garfield
business model that's going to work the same way to popularize something like that as a newspaper does. Yeah. I mean, if a comic strip, you know, back in the day, if a comic strip was popular enough, it would be in just about, you know, every major newspaper, mm-hmm. which means everybody who, you know, would buy a newspaper, because that was the only way to get, you know, news. There was no online. So everybody would be exposed to that same comic strip in their house every day.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't happen. It can't happen the same way anymore.
No, it really doesn't. It might have something to do with, you know, I don't know if anybody's done a study about this, but with all the two-income households, no one's home during the day to really read the paper. People that read the paper are going to be either worried to read it at work on a break or something. You know, weekend paper is something different. Sure, like Sid Dweck was helped buy his weekend paper every week. But, you know, it used to be, you know, mom was home, you know, dad would read the, you know, take the sports section to work, and mom would have the Dear Abby and the comics and the front page at home. During the day type of thing? Yeah, not so much anymore.
I don't know. We still have one in the break room.
I mean, unless... But,
how much
want to
bet that's free?
Unless every online newspaper starts carrying a string of comics that everybody who hits that site jumps onto their comics page and reads. So that's the only other way I can really think of it. I'm not really sure why people don't do that. I mean,
I think it'll happen.
Relatively cheap content.
Well, I mean, Daryl Cagle's got MSN does a lot of his. Well, they do his political cartoons, obviously some sites are starting to find value in picking up comics, and whether it's going to be through, you know, a site like like Daryl's, or a syndicate like, you know, like King's.
Right. Well, that's hopeful about the Comics Kingdom concept.
Right.
Where, I mean, it's attractive because they can get this whole, you know, they can get their whole selection, basically.
Yeah, a whole slew of comics.
Feature strip.
Yeah.
It's relatively inexpensive, and it's easy for them to.
Well, and they don't have to administrate it. They just have to. They just have to add it to their site.
Right.
You know, that's
the way to do
done.
It. I mean, because. It's one thing when you're dealing with newspapers or print things. Sure, every newspaper that has a comic has a copy of it. They put it in their print run, blah, blah, blah. On the web, it doesn't have to work that way. They can all be stored in one place locally or wherever. And then when you go to that website for the newspaper and you look at the comic section, it just pulls the ones that it's paid for off of there. And that's pretty much how that King Syndicate works, isn't it? I mean, it's the way it seems to me. It's like a Java applet that they just stick on the paper.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of neat. You click that view all comics and you can just, you know, through. Oh, apartment 3G. What's going on there? I haven't heard of that in forever. You know, that sort of thing. I wonder, is it a deal where they get like a package deal from King with all the comics they carry, they have a selection of, or do they pick and choose like a la carte? This is the ones we want to have.
It's like their whole lineup, basically.
That would make
anything you
get Buckles.
On their Daily Ink subscription service, anything you could read there.
You know the guy who does Buckles? You know these people?
I really
like Buckles. No, I'm just one. And it's not in the paper here. That's the thing. Anyway.
How is Beetle Bailey still around?
I know very few cartoonists, actually.
How is Beetle Bailey still around? I don't know. Isn't Obama getting rid of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, No Gays in the Military thing?
Well, but that just makes more characters for Beetle Bailey.
That's true. Do you know what I think? The womanizer guy, the guy who's always got the chicks, the smooth guy, he's coming out of the closet.
you're assuming that Beetle Bailey keeps up with any kind of current.
No, I'm pretty sure I saw a Beetle Bailey comic the other day where he had like an iPod on.
Oh, I'm sure. That was actually a Walkman. They're moving up slowly.
Yeah. It's a record player with a strap. It's got a weird holster.
You've got to crank it every once in a while, you know, sort of thing, gramophone. Oh, Watson, come here. I need you. Have you heard this? It's great. Yeah. Oh, Lordy.
All right.
So what are your plans for Gil? I mean, it's a great comic. If you people haven't checked it out yet, you need to. Again, gilcomic.com. It's a newspaper formatted, which is why I had to show it to a syndicate first. Black and white with colors. How often do you do the Sunday, the full color Sundays?
Every Friday.
Every Friday, so it's...
Yeah, sense. He just does Monday through Friday, and then the color is Friday.
Because of this interview, it'll probably be late tomorrow.
Oh, jeez. Man, blame us. Be sure to put a big blame on the blog post there. That's fine.
It probably will be late tomorrow, but I'm actually looking behind this wicked...
No, that's the beauty of the whole webcomic thing. It's expected.
Really behind this week. So.
No, I'm gonna post an angry rant on your website here as soon as...
All right.
And I'm going to post it anonymously.
You spoiled syndicate guys.
Talking about this. Yeah, sure. Oh, I just said enough to one guy, and I'm in the newspaper. It's not hard at all.
Yeah, I got more questions. We'll have to try to get you on again, because I'm resisting the temptation to waste more of your time. But
I know, I just looked at the time, comic. Like, oh, it has been 45 minutes. I guess we should kind of...
You can waste more of my time. That's
Well, no, more valuable than my time these days, let me tell you. Anyway.
I do it 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. The Friday is always a little bit larger in color.
And it's like I said, it looks awesome. This guy's obviously a pro. You are obviously a pro at this. And it is very funny. I mean, I made the mistake of not looking through a lot of these before the interview. My bad. Like I said, it's been a hell of a weekend for me. But as I've been going through, it's like, okay, try not to chuckle so they're asking what I'm talking about. But the one on January 12th was just priceless. Morgan, you're a liar.
Oh. I got a couple of people commented on that. It's like, oh, no wonder the syndicate's passed on it. Like, yeah. I submit that one.
Beautiful.
That's what we started it out with. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean you don't want to print this?
It's very
wow.
They have an occult section in the toy store now. Of course, like you said, you've been doing it for a couple of years professionally. It's not surprising that you've got, you know, the timing and everything down, but it's just fun, and it's honestly, in my opinion, the most realistic comic, you know, most true to life comic that, you know, on.
And how old's your son?
Son is three.
Three? Okay. Well, I thought this must have been from your own life then, the thing with the Legos. But yeah.
Yeah. This is my friend. He had a friend of mine had the cool, like, space Legos, like, before.
Yeah.
Before
Star Wars.
Space,
right. Before Star Wars took
Legos.
Over. Yeah.
And we would just build a huge ship and then chuck it out.
Of course. Of course. That's what Legos are for. Then they don't break. They break apart. They're supposed to. Yes. Well, but do us a big favor. Be sure to thank your wife for kicking you in the butt and getting you to do something besides sit around watching soap operas raising your kids. Because this is awesome. Yeah.
Hopefully there will be a book at some point. That's the only real concrete plan I have is to do a self-publish after.
Enough
of the strips, but
excellent.
Do a year's worth of.
At some point, to maybe sell the alternative weeklies or some kind of print to get.
Yeah, with all the print on demand options out there and whatnot, it's not that expensive, and with the quality work and stuff you're doing. Artist copies go for a lot of money, you know, because you're selling them yourself, doing a little sketch and a signature, and you're getting $15 for, you know, $10 profit for everything you're selling. But, yeah, that's just excellent. Excellent, excellent. All right, well, I hate to cut this short, if you want to call this short, but thanks so much for coming on, and next time I make it up to Massachusetts, I got somebody else to ring up and go have a beer and talk crap about whatever.
Good.
The Sox, the Pats, whatever you want to talk about, the whatever, the Paw Sox for you Rhode Island natives there. Excellent. And yes, that's right. It's gilcomic.com, and you can from there you can also get a link to his retail comic at the that newspaper up in the where Scott lives.
Well, it's all over the place, but yeah.
Yeah.
There's a link on
there. There's a link. But that's the link that it goes. That's the link that he sends it to. You must like that paper. All right. Well, thanks again, Norm. And I went the whole thing without doing the whole thing about the whole Massachusetts Norm thing. Didn't even mention it once. Proud of myself. Norm! See? Just had to do it once. I did it anyway. All right. Hey, if you have any time you want to come back on or have any news to let us know about, just please do, and we'll tell to the rest of the people there.
Awesome. Anytime.
All right. Thanks
a lot, guys.
Yep, you're welcome.
All right.
And that is the GigCast for this week. We thank our special guest this week, Mr. Norm Feudy, for stopping by. Be sure to check out his webcomic at gilcomic.com. And if you're one of the lucky people that have retail in your local papers, why don't you send an email off to your the editor of that paper thanking them for having a comic like retail in there. You know, help keep these working cartoonists working. All right, folks. I'd like to thank everybody that helped out this week, of course, Christian Ellis. Brian Anderson, of course, my co-host Scott, who's not here right now. This is, of course, being edited later because of my lazy butt. But anyway, B. Dick Turtle for the theme music, and everybody else has helped out in Night Gig Studios. And remember, folks, if you're listening to this, you can still pre-order the book for $10, help pay for the printing, as well as helping support keeping Night Gig and the GigCast on the web for you to enjoy. All right, folks, this is JT Shea for Scott Galton and everybody else here at Night Gig Studios and the GigCast saying until next week, enjoy your webcomics. This has been the GigCast. Remember, all links mentioned on today's show can be found at our homepage at www.thegigcast.com. The GigCast asks, what's your gig? Let us know. Drop us a line at gigcast@nightgig.com or call our voicemail line at 1-206-203-3334. The best we played every week on the show. Help us help you let people know what is your night gig. Music for the GigCast provided by Beatnik Turtle at beatnikturtle.com and by Corey Smith at myspace.com/TheCoreySmith. The GigCast is a production of Night Gig Studios at nightgig.com, where it's not about what you do to live, it's about what you live to do. Nightgig.com. What's your gig?
One. Oh, 6 minutes ago.